and welcome back to our weekly Outlook podcast. I'm João, and today I have both Helena and Sara here with me to update you with the latest news from this week. Helena, what can you tell us about the Germany elections that took place early this week?
Hello João, Sara, and everyone who is listening to us. Germany's center-left Social Democrats, SPD, have claimed victory in the federal election, telling the party of departing Chancellor Angela Merkel it should no longer be in power. This result could soon be inspiring Europe's center-left. This means that if SPD leader Olaf Scholz becomes chancellor, he will join center-left heads of governments in Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Spain, Portugal, arguably France, and potentially soon Norway. Olaf Scholz said he had a clear mandate to form a government, while his conservative rival Armin Laschet remained determined to fight on. The two parties have governed together for years, but Mr. Scholz said he will form a new coalition with the Greens and Liberals. Besides German elections, another big event this week was Britain's food problem. Sara, how is the situation currently? Have any solutions been found to solve this problem?
Hi Elena and João. Hi everyone. In the UK, earlier this week, after oil companies warned they didn't have enough tanker drivers to move petrol and diesel from refineries to the filling stations, chaos arose. The Petrol Retailers Association, PRA, which represents independent retailers, said 27% of its member stations were out of fuel, down from as high as 90% on Monday, which affected not only the fuel industry and services, but also the supermarket supplies. Despite the criticism, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the Business Minister Kwasi Kwarteng said that the situation is improving. The government ordered 150 soldiers to drive fuel tankers, promoting to refill of empty pumps, even though the profession in the area don't believe in short-term solutions. The government will also create 5,000 visas to foreign drivers until 24th of December, which will also help to improve the situation.
Thank you, Sara, for updating us on this topic. João, moving on to you now. Is it true that MasterCard is jumping into the competitive installment loan space?
Yes, Elena, it is true. MasterCard is jumping into the competitive installment loan space by allowing banks and startups to ramp up their own buy now, pay later offers. This new program lets buyers split up purchase through monthly, often interest-free payments. Craig Vosburgh, Chief Product Officer at MasterCard, said merchants see this type of loans as a way to drive more sales. Customers, meanwhile, tend to turn to these loans as cheaper and more convenient alternatives to traditional revolving credit. Some have warned about the risk of additional credit and that pay later offerings also aren't reported to credit bureaus. To this, MasterCard responds that they are actively working to improve the visibility of information about a consumer's capacity to repay a loan. Moving on to what has been one of the biggest and most important themes for the past year and a half. Sara, what do you have to tell us this week about COVID-19 pandemic?
Over the last 2 years, the biotech sector has drawn a lot of attention. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has made biotech companies the hot new technology sector as investors' demand drives record IPOs. Christina Barden, a portfolio manager at private equity firm MPM Capital, said that the increased interest in the novel technology during the pandemic has driven a lot of capital into the sector, fueling record financing and IPOs. In anticipation of what the biotech industry will do after the pandemic subsides, investors are pouring enormous amount of money into the sector.
Thank you, Sara. Now, changing the subject, it seems that this week a lot has happened in China. Helena, starting with you, what is going on in China?
Yes, João, this week a lot happened in China. Starting by the Chinese policy, China says it's restricting abortions to promote gender equality. In China, due to the one-child policy introduced in 1979, abortion has been widely practiced. Millions of women were forced to terminate illegal pregnancies. The traditional preference for sons also led to a rise in sex-selective abortions, with families often choosing to abort girls, which has contributed to a significantly skewed gender ratio. But over the past decade, China began to reckon with the consequences of its one-child policy, a rapidly aging population and shrinking workforce that threatened the country's economic growth. To raise its plummeting fertility rates, in 2016, China enacted the two-child policy, and in August this year, the three-child policy. Ong Fincher said that the entire history of population planning in China has been incredibly abusive and coercive, and as such, some experts say that it's too soon to say what the impact will be. However, there are people that are truly convinced that this new policy doesn't aim to promote gender equality, since it doesn't even respect women's rights, as the government treats the female body as a tool.
There is this rhetoric that the Communist Party was founded on the basis of gender equality, but just looking at the evidence of quite years already, the government movement has been in opposition to furthering human rights and to gender equality.
Completely, João. I also heard this week that the house prices in China are increasing. Is it right, João?
Yes, Elena, that is totally right. The property market is probably the most important in China's economy. House prices have risen over the last 15 years, sometimes more than 10% per year in big cities, that, relative to income, put large Chinese cities in the least affordable places in the world. Provincial authorities usually use the phrase malicious price cutting to depreciate attempts to cut home prices by the property developers. Some developers, driven by the need for revenue, are offering 30% discounts, yet officials banned them, because they consider that the discounts would lead to protest and distortion in the property market. In the central city of Yuyang, the government requests developers to stop raising prices and simultaneously avoid reducing them by more than 15%. And now, Sarah, last but not least, is it right that China's power crunch pushes foreign business to invest in factories elsewhere?
Yes, João, that's totally right. Last spring, the Chinese government declared a target to boost renewable energy to about 20% of energy shared consumption over a 5-year period. After China stopped buying coal from Australia, the country faced some problems: rising commodity prices, long periods without rain, and even the reduction of wind-generated power. In spite of the application of restrictive measures, China has registered extreme temperatures and increased its exports, which demand more energy consumption. The rules were not withdrawn. Therefore, mines closed, factories reduced their production significantly, and, in some areas, authorities restricted the power used. These restrictions pushed away some investors and had a negative impact on the country's development.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Elena. We'll be back next week to update you with the main news. Until then, we wish you all a good weekend and a good week as well. See you next week.